He is a wonderful Savior. Amen. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. While you're finding your place there, I'd like to make this available to you. I have been working on something for many hours. And this is something that Brother Scott Foster has helped me tremendously with putting it together. And Miss Ashley Whitson, what we've done is we have written 226 Bible stories for children. And Miss Ashley Whitson has taken her gifts and talents, and she took all the stories and drew a coloring page to match the story. And these are beautifully done. There's four volumes that look just like that. It's just different color schemes. These are beautifully done. And what I want to do is I'd like to offer for you all who have children, or if you have grandchildren, I'd like to give you a set of this for free. Okay? I'd like you to have it. Now, this is something that this is Bible stories and all of that. I'm going to put these out in the lobby so you can look at them. But if you'd like a set of these, then you just sign up. There's a sign-up sheet on the bulletin board out in the lobby. And if you'll just put your name and just put the check mark on it. In other words, I'm still praying. I made an announcement in my Sunday school class. If you're in my Sunday school class, just right now, just sign up for one set, okay? Just one. That way we'll get everybody a set who's going to get one for free. And then if somebody wants two or three sets, you understand we can't keep giving them free. I mean, you understand that, all right? So in other words, if you want to get a set and get two extras for Christmas gifts or something like that, I'm praying about what the Lord would have us to do, and I'm just praying about that. So those in my class, if you are in my Sunday school class, don't sign up for how many sets you want. Just sign up for one set right now, okay? Everybody understand that, all right? So if you'd like to have a set of these, you let us know, and we'll take care of that, all right? Matthew chapter number 17, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 24. Matthew 17, verse 24. Zach, I'm going to give this to you. If you'll just hold on to that, and at the end of the service, put those on the Welcome Center. I'm talking loud enough so everybody can hear it. Put those on the Welcome Center, okay? If you want to take a look at those, that'll be great. Again, the sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board out in the lobby. Please take advantage of that, okay? Matthew 17, verse 24. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." And when he was coming to the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "Then are the children free, notwithstanding. Lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Now we're studying through the book of Matthew together, and this is the portion of scripture that we have come to in our study. I draw your attention to a phrase in verse number 24. It's two words, and it's the title of my message this morning. It's the two words, "your master." Your master. And I preach to you on that subject this morning. Father, help us, I pray. May the will of God be done. Use us in a mighty way. And I pray that you be pleased with this service. Anything, Lord, that's hindering you, please, I mean this, get it out, and help us, Lord God, to be completely and thoroughly right with Thee. Speak to us from Your Word now, in Jesus' name, amen. In this same chapter, in Matthew chapter 17, we've already preached on, I think, two messages here. There are several things that have already taken place. As a matter of fact, first we saw the Lord take Peter, James, and John up on a mountain apart. It's in the first part of this chapter, where He was transfigured before their eyes. Then we saw, the last time we were in this chapter, when they came down from that mountain, they found the other disciples were not able to help a man whose son was demon-possessed. The Lord tenderly dealt with this man and delivered his son from the power of the devil. He then taught his disciples that it was their unbelief that made them powerless against this demon. Now today we come to the final section of this chapter. And the Lord and His disciples come to Capernaum, where they that receive tribute money come to Peter and ask him, in other words, the Lord is in a house somewhere, Peter's with them by himself,
And they ask him, does not your master pay tribute? Peter spoke for the Lord immediately without even consenting the Lord. Instead of saying, well, let me go ask him. He simply said, yes, he does. Okay, there's the old foot and mouth disease that Peter's so accustomed for. And when Peter came into the house where Jesus was, the Lord asked Peter what he was thinking when he gave this answer to these people. The Lord went on to explain how children of the king are free from paying this tribute. However, he told Peter in order not to offend these people unnecessarily, he told him to go to the sea, cast a hook, take up the first fish that comes up, open its mouth, find a piece of money enough to pay his and Peter's tax. You say, do you believe it happened just like the Bible says? You got it. Notice with me the words, your master, in verse 24. These tax collectors knew the Lord Jesus was the master of Peter. This word master means his instructor, means his teacher. This means that Peter was so associated with the Lord in such a way that others knew that he was being taught by Jesus Christ. Now it's this thought of your master that I want us to dwell on today. Let me take this time to say, if you are saved, Jesus is your master. If you are not saved, he desires to be your master. And the way he becomes your master is you understand that you have sinned, you have come short of the glory of God, that you could never make it to heaven on your own merit, and you realize that Jesus came, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfect sinless life, and shed his precious blood on Calvary, was buried, and 3 days later rose again to buy our way to heaven, to make it possible for you to go to heaven when you die. And if you repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ and his free gift, he becomes your Savior and he becomes your master. Now this morning I'm focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't get any better than the Lord Jesus, my friends. He's the key center of the entire Word of God. And there's several things about him that comes out in these closing verses. And these things should be a challenge and a comfort to us. Number one, let's notice our master's preventing. We see this in verse 25. Notice it. He saith, yes, Peter. And when he was coming to the house, Jesus, here it is, prevented him, saying, what thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Now it's interesting to note how the Lord was not standing in person in the place where these tax collectors questioned Peter. He was not there in the body. He was in the house. However, when Peter came into the house where Jesus was, the Bible says he prevented him. This word means he anticipated him. It means he questioned Peter before Peter could tell him what happened. In other words, the major point that comes out here is how our master is omniscient. And what I mean by that is he knows all things. Even though they could not see him, he was there. Even though they couldn't see his body, he saw what was taking place. He knew all about it. And I'm simply trying to say our master sees all things and he knows all things. This is both comforting to the child of God whenever you're going through something that you think nobody knows, nobody understands, nobody cares. That is a falsehood. Jesus Christ knows, he understands, and he cares about what you go through. But on the other side of that, that's also a convicting thought to realize there are no hypocrites in God's eyes. You listening to me, what I'm saying to you? What I mean by that is being a hypocrite is useless. You cannot be a hypocrite in the eyes of Almighty God. That's what I'm talking about. I'm saying that you can pull a mask over your face and trick me. You can trick your mom. You can trick your dad. You can trick your child. You can trick your grandchild. You can trick your teacher, your Sunday school teacher. But you cannot trick Almighty God. He knows all things. This is what we see in his preventing. I'm simply trying to say that, friends, if you need somebody who knows, his name is Jesus. If you think you're getting by with something, you are not, because our God prevents us.
He anticipates us. He knows everything that goes on. Even though you cannot see him with your eye, he sees you and he knows everything about you. Psalm 147:5, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That means endless. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Number one, his preventing. Number two, we notice our master's profession. Look at verse 25 and look at verse number 26. What thinkest thou, Simon, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free. Now, notice the questions that the Lord asked Peter. He asked Peter what he was thinking when he told those tribute collectors what he did. He then asked Peter, of whom do kings of the earth take custom or tribute of their own children or of strangers? The obvious answer was of strangers. In other words, those that are not in his family. Okay? Then the Lord told Peter here, he said, then are the children free. Now at first glance, one may not fully understand what the Lord's doing here. But I'm going to tell you something. When you study this out, what a profession he's making. The Lord is making here a profession concerning himself is what he's doing. Now, it's been said that this particular tribute was the temple tax that was started in Moses' day in Exodus chapter number 30. It was money, now get this, it was money given as a reminder to the Jews that they had been redeemed from Egyptian bondage. Now, notice this was a Jewish tax, not a Roman one. This is a Jewish tax. And it had scriptural warrant with it. It started in the Old Testament. Now, get this. It was paid to God. It was paid as unto the Lord. Now stay with me. It was an assessment that was collected annually for the support of the temple. Get it? God's house. Now get this. In Bible days, kings, talking on the earth, kings had supreme power. They taxed their subjects, those that were under them, so they could support their own families and the government. However, back in this day now, the king's children did not pay this tax. The king's children did not pay this tribute. The king's children were tax-free. This was a tax taken for God. Therefore, what we see the Lord saying to Peter is saying, Peter, on earth, do kings, those who are supreme, do they tax their children or do they tax their strangers? Peter automatically said, it's strangers, Lord. Then he said, then the children are free. What is he saying? I think you know what he's saying, aren't you? This is a tax given to God. Therefore, we see the Lord saying to Peter, Peter, you just said that kings, the supreme, they only tax strangers, but they don't tax their own kin. They don't tax their children. He's saying, Peter, I'm the Son of God. That's what he's saying here. And he's saying, since this is a tax given to God, everybody has to pay it, but his child is free. Do you see what he's doing here? He's showing Peter again, I am deity, Peter. I am God's son, Peter. And because of this, since he is the King of Kings and his father is the sovereign ruler over all, he did not owe this tax money for the upkeep of his daddy's house. That's what he's saying. And you know what he's saying? I am the Son of God. What a profession. What a profession. Matthew 8:29, and behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Matthew 14:33, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Mark 1:1, at the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You know what I'm glad of today? I'm glad he is who he says he is. Because if he's not God's son, if he's not God come in flesh, you and I are going to burn in hell, friends. You better be glad that this profession is true. Number one, we notice we're looking at our master. Your master, Peter. Your master. Hey, his preventing. He knows all things. His profession. He's deity. He's the Son of God. He didn't owe this tax because it was a tax for his own daddy. Number three, let's notice his principle. There's a principle that he establishes here. And oh, how we need God's wisdom with this. I cannot teach this. I'm talking about that. I can give illustrations, but only God can show you this principle. Did Jesus owe this tax, yes or no? No. But notice his principle in verse 27. He said, nevertheless, lest we should offend them. Mark it. That's the principle I'm going to show you about. He didn't owe this tax. He didn't have to pay this tax. But his principle was, we don't want to offend them. Now, we need God's understanding in this, and I'm praying that the Lord will help me to get this across. Because some people will take that and say, well, I guess then I just need to go drinking with my buddies. I just don't want to offend them. I guess I just need to go along to get along. And I'm telling you, if somebody just wants to do something against God, I guess I just need to go ahead. There it is in the Bible that we don't want to offend anybody. Somebody that uses that as that has no clue what this verse is teaching. They have no idea what this verse is teaching. Now stay with me here because I want to help you here, because this is something that can help you in life. The Lord had already established the fact that he was the Son of God. He did not owe this particular tribute. But notice how he says, we don't want to offend them. Now I've got right here in my notes, may the Lord help our understanding here. Because if you take this wrong, you're going to take it and go off in 5,000 different directions. Now get this, even though the Lord had every right to refuse to pay this tribute, it was not wrong to pay it. Get this, it was in the Word of God, friends. It was a Bible thing back in Exodus chapter 30. And if he did not pay it, it could have sent the wrong idea, saying that he despised the house of God. It could have been misunderstood and have been thought that he was teaching men shouldn't pay this tribute to God, when the Old Testament said they should have. The point is, it could have hurt his testimony. And the point is, it could have led others astray. Are you with me so far? A man put it this way, there are matters in which Christian people ought to sink in their own opinions and submit to requirements, which they may not thoroughly approve, rather than give offense and hinder the gospel of Christ. We must never, get this, here's the point. We must never use our freedom in Christ to destroy others. Another man put it this way, there are some things we don't have to do, but for the sake of our Christian witness, we ought to do them. We must have the Holy Spirit give us wisdom in these things. Now get this, we must never compromise God's rights. You don't go along to get along something that's unscriptural, is what I'm saying. Amen, friends. I'm not saying that this is a warrant for you to go along to get along. Hey, just take a drink. Well, I don't want to offend him, so I better just take one. That's against Scripture. And we know that that's not what he's talking about here. What he's talking about here, listen to this. We must never compromise God's rights but our own when no major truth is at stake. When you're not compromising a doctrine, a major truth, then we need to sacrifice our own rights. We should never go against the Word of God. We should stand strong and not ever yield to something that displeases God. However, we should not be hard-headed in areas that do not compromise God's word. And you should never do something, even though you're free to do it, if it would hurt your testimony in the process. There are things you could do, but could be taken wrong and hurt your testimony and cause weaker brethren to stumble. For instance, let me just bring this out. This is a simple one, but this is kind of the idea that I'm trying to get you to see here. Is it wrong to drink root beer? No. Somebody say glory right there, friends. I know what you were thinking. If he preaches on root beer, I'm out of here. You know what I'm saying? You go to the store, and they have root beer in six packs in brown bottles. You listening to me? Is it wrong for you to get that and drink it? Are you free to do that? But if you do, you could call somebody else to stumble that you never knew was watching you, friends. You could call somebody to stumble because you're free in Christ. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm free as a bird. If I want to go to the bar, I'm just having a social drink. What's the big deal? Your testimony, that's the big deal. And the big deal is alcohol's against God. Amen. You say you're preaching hard on alcohol, and I'm going to get harder on it too, friends, because that stuff is demon-possessed, and it needs to be preached on today. And I'm telling you, I'm saying that there are things that God has freed us to do. You have freedom to do that. You can do that. But if you do, it can hurt your testimony, and it can trip somebody else up along the way. This is what I'm saying. But that's why I also say, I can't come into your home and say it's that. God has to show you those things. Amen, friends? I'm not trying to be a dictator. God knows. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help your family. I'm not coming in and say, don't do that. Bring me a checklist tonight and I'll make sure you're living for God. I'm not doing that. I'm simply saying this. Get on your face and ask God to give you a Holy Ghost wisdom that if you're doing anything that's not wrong in itself, but it can be taken wrong to hinder the gospel, you ought to be willing to sacrifice that for the gospel's sake. That's the principle he's setting out right here. I'm about out of breath right there. Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 8:8 and following, listen to this, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. I'm thinking about maybe adopting that for my life verse right there. I'm not sure. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple. In other words, you have freedom to do that. You're free. You know what you're doing. But if a weaker brother sees you go into the idol's temple to eat, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? In other words, if he sees you do it, he's going to think there's nothing wrong with it now, because you used your freedom and you abused it. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when we sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Here's what he said. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. You know where we get in trouble? We get pig-headed. If he doesn't like it, then he can just hit the highway. I'm free. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I know. I like that too much. I'm not going to give that up. If he takes it wrong, that's his fault. That's fleshly, friends. The Word of God says, listen, you need to study. And you need to pray. And ask God to show you of anything that you're doing that's not wrong in itself to do it. but it's causing others to go further, causing them to stumble, and causing them to be offended. The Bible says in Galatians 5:13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty." Ye have been called unto liberty. "Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serving one another." 2 Corinthians 6:3, "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed." 1 Thessalonians 5:22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." See, this was a tax given to God, given to God's house. And the Lord didn't have to pay that. He was God's son. He was God's son. But yet he sacrificed his own right because he didn't want the weaker people who were trying to do right to see him not pay it. So they say, if he don't pay it, I don't have to either. Am I making any sense at all? That's his principle. But again, I emphasize, you need to find God's will for your life in those areas. God must show you those things. Let me give you a fourth thing about him, and that is his providence. Our master's providence. Look at verse number 27 of our text. "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast an hook, take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou shalt open his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee." Now the Lord shows forth his power here, his providence, if you will, over creation. His providential hand in sending Peter to the sea to cast a hook and take up the first fish that would have the money in its mouth. Let me ask you a question. How do you know that? He said, here's what I want you to do, Peter. Take a hook. Not a net, just a hook. You just need a hook today. Take a hook. Put it in the water. First fish that comes up and jumps up, whatever the case may be, and grabs that bad boy, take it. Take him off the hook, open his mouth, you're going to find the money, enough for me and you. You know what that is? That's providence, friends. That's power. That's his power over creation. And what we see here is only the Lord could perform something like that. No matter how it happened, this is nothing short of a miracle that Jesus did. He showed his guiding hand over his creation. He showed his leadership over his creation. He showed his power over his creation. Praise the Lord today, friends. That's your master if you're saved. He's in control of it all. Somebody says, I wonder how it happened. I wonder if somebody just dropped a coin in there and the Lord just went down and just started chewing on it, but didn't like the taste of it, so it just sat there in his mouth. Or, you know, I wonder if he swallowed it and just brought it back up. How did God do it? Here's what I say. Who cares how he did it? He did it. Who cares? I mean, just let the thought sink in about how powerful your master is today. Even the fish obey him. We know that somewhere else, I think, in the Old Testament too, don't we? The great fish, the whale, God spoke to him because that preacher was giving him indigestion in Jonah. It says he spit him up on dry land. All I'm saying to you, I take heart here because, listen to this, somebody put it this way, I like this. He paid the tax in such a way that showed the whole realm of nature was tributary to him. Think about that statement. He paid his tax in such a way that proved that nature owed this to him. I'm going to pay this tribute, but I'm going to make creation. I'm going to make my own creation give it to me because that's what they need to do. I'm telling you. Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them saying, all power is given unto me. Do you believe all power is given unto Jesus? If it has, I'm not saying if and doubting, but you know, just because it's the truth. But if all power has been given unto him, we're going to be just fine. Hebrews 2:7-8, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set over him and didst set him over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. The whole creation is under the hand of Jesus Christ. He's calling the shots. I'm so glad that's the case. Number one, we've noticed his preventing. He knows all things. His profession, he is the Son of God. His principle, he had every right to deny it, but he didn't for the sake of others. Number four, his providence. Number five, there's only six of them, so hang in there, brethren. We're almost done. Number five, we notice his poverty. His poverty. In verse number 27, he said, go to the sea, get a fish. The fish will have to provide this. What came out for me in this is his poverty on earth. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, and he didn't have enough money in his pocket to pay the tribute. Somebody says, that's one thing I'm like him in right there. I'll guarantee it, you know. But let this thought touch your heart, friends. That here's the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of creation, and he became poor. The Bible teaches about this, 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty, there it is, his poverty, might be rich. He became poor so I can have his riches. What a God we serve, friends, honestly. Matthew 8, 20, Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became poor that I might be rich. Let me give you a sixth and final thing about him, and that is his provision. Now, many times a sermon just gives one major thought, and the major thought is your master, your master, your master. And these points point back to him. But I realize that maybe not all these things speak to your heart, but maybe one of them does. It's interesting, in the last phrase, verse 27, he says, and give them for me and thee. Take what you find, what I've provided in the mouth of the fish, and you pay mine, and oh, by the way, Peter, pay yours too. Now, the point I'm trying to say here is how he provided Peter's need. He told Peter to take the money that he finds and take it to the tribute collectors for me and you. The Lord met this need in Peter's life. The Lord provided enough for Peter to be taken care of. And if there's a need in your life today, the Lord Jesus is where to find the answer. He's provided, he's promised to meet our needs. We can trust what the Bible tells us. As a matter of fact, just look at your life and consider how good God's already been to you. I know he's been good to me. Philippians 4, 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now in this closing passage of this chapter, these last verses, we see the Lord Jesus Christ, our master, is placed on display for our attention. If you've never trusted him as your Savior, he cannot be your master, but he wants to be. And if you have trusted him as your Savior, your master is a wonderful master. He prevents us. That means he knows all things about us. He professes who he is. He is the very Son of God. He's laid a principle down for all of his children. Don't be bullheaded when it comes to non-biblical things. Even though you're free to do it and it's not wrong in itself to do it, ask God to give you wisdom about what things you shouldn't do because other people could be led astray with that. You understand what I'm saying? We notice his providence, how even the creation is in subjection to him. His poverty, he became poor so that we might be rich. And his provision, when it came to just a simple temple tax, it was important enough to Jesus to provide it for Peter. And if he's interested enough in providing a temple tax that he didn't even have to pay in the first place, How much more interest do you think he has in your legitimate needs in the days of life? I rejoice today that thinking about Jesus Christ, I can say, that's my master. May God help us with this. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you. Help us to see these simple thoughts. Thank you for these precious people coming to this church service. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak to their hearts. I pray, Lord, that everything has been said in a way that pleases you. And if there's anything that's been said in a way that displeases you, forgive me for that and get it out. Do business with us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Number one, I'd like to ask this question. Is Jesus Christ your master? Is he your savior? Is he your king? If not, see, this whole message was about our master, our master, our master. But I do not want to bypass the thought that if Jesus is not your master, he wants to be. Is there somebody today say, Jody, pray for me. He's not my master. But I tell you, when I think about him and think about all these things about him and his goodness and his grace and his provision and how he became poor so that I might be rich, I'd like to know him as my master. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't do that for the world. If you're here today and you say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not saved. Or maybe you're just not sure. And you say, would you pray for me? I'd like to know Jesus. I'd like to know this master. I'd like to have God as my master. I really would. I need him. I want to be saved. I want to be his child. Is there anybody like that at all? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Anybody at all? My eyes are surfing. I'm looking. God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else, once you put your hand up, you can put it right back down. Somebody else, God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hand right back down. Somebody else say, I don't know him, but I'd like to. I don't know him, but I'd like to. Anybody else along with these, put it up. Put it right back down. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? If you raise your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. I'd like you to lift your eyes and look at me right here, please. If you raised your hand to that question, I want you to lift your eyes and look at me. I don't know your heart. And I cannot look at you and say, you're saved. So we don't want to take it for granted. You understand that, right? We don't want to take it for granted. So in just a moment, when we extend an invitation, I want to ask you to come. We can't force you to do this. We can't drag you down here, and we wouldn't do that. But I think you know in your heart you need to do this, right? May the Lord help us with this. Good. Good. Amen. I need a lady, please, if we'll help right here. May God help her. May God help her. Amen. Have you today say, Jody, I'm a Christian and Jesus is my master. But there is something in this life that I know it's not wrong to do it. But I see now that I shouldn't do it because it could cause others to trip up. Now you're not confessing to a fault here, friends, because these things in themselves are not wrong. You understand what I'm saying? But God has brought it to your attention that if you keep doing that, or if you don't do that, it could give the wrong impression and hurt your testimony, maybe cause some other people to trip. Have you say, Jody, God's speaking to me in an area like that in my life. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? There's an area like that. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Be sensitive. Be sensitive. I wanted today, how many of you have a need to be met? So I'm a Christian, but there's a need in my life. God's speaking to me about if he provided a tribute tax, surely he'll provide this need. Have you say, Jody, there's a need in my life like that. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. God wants to meet your need. Take it to him. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, take it. Use it in a great way. Speak to our hearts. Please. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to go ahead and dismiss those who are being baptized today. If you'll go ahead and prepare for that, we'll get ready for that in just a few minutes. All those following the Lord and believers' baptism, please make your way now. And as Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, if you have a need, if you have an area in your life that you need God to really pray for you and really show you what to do, as Brother Gary sings, you come on now. Would you do that?
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let me give you a couple of quick announcements here. We'll take the offering. We'll have our baptismal service. There are some orange flyers in the lobby. You've probably seen those for the Truth Teen Rally. They're holding it out on the Harvest Acres Farm this week from 2 o'clock till 7:30. If you have questions about that, see Brother Bob Mann. If you know some unsafe teenagers, it would be great to get them out to that. Again, see Brother Mann about that. If you're a Sunday school teacher, our teachers' meeting will not be this Wednesday night. We're putting it off until next Wednesday night. So a week and a half from today, we'll have our teachers' meeting. Teachers, be aware of that. Last week we had a great day, friend day, and many of you worked very hard. I know Pastor will say more about that tonight. But we know of four people who brought five visitors or more. If your name is not in the bulletin saying you brought five visitors, then we have made a mistake. I know that's hard to believe, but it's possible, and you let us know. We want to make sure that we have all those records correct. We had 41 of our church members bring visitors. Those 41 brought 84 visitors, according to our records, which should be in the ballpark, and 11 folks that came that were not invited. So over 100 visitors last week, and we praise the Lord for that. You folks worked hard. We thank the Lord for what you're able to do. Final announcement. How many of you folks have served in the military at some point in your life? Served in the military. Very good. All right. Next Sunday is Veterans Day, and the first part of our service we'll be using to honor all of you folks. We have a special gift for you. We'll have a special time to see who is who and who is in what military service and so forth. How many of you know somebody who was in the military and they're unsaved or unchurched? Unsaved or unchurched. All right. Lots of hands. This is a great time to invite them to come. Let them know we're going to be honoring the military. We have a gift for everyone who served in the military. Again, another way to reach some folks. Encourage you to pursue that for next Sunday. Gentlemen, you come, we'll receive our offering for this morning. Lord, we do thank you for the truths we've heard this morning about who you are. And Lord, we have a God who can do anything, a God who knows all things. And we pray that you'd help us as believers to turn to you and see you meet our needs, Lord. Help us to really understand who our God is. We thank you for these who are to be baptized. We pray that this would be their first step of growth in their Christian life. They would continue on serving you. Now, Lord, bless this offering. We thank you for each one who gives today, and help us to use this money wisely to help the work of God to go on in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.
right, it's good to see everybody here. Appreciate you being here. We're baptizing four today, and we need to vote on them. And thank the Lord that they're here. Praise the Lord for it. We have Alyssa Neal, Ashley Klaus, Dawson Miller, and Tabitha Williams. They've all been dealt with. They've trusted Christ as their Savior. Some of them in the home, some of them here, and so on. So praise the Lord for all of them. And they have a desire to follow the Lord believers' baptism. What's the pleasure of the church that we accept them into our membership upon their baptism? Could I get that, Brother Mark, Brother Trent, second? All in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. So carry. Very good. This is Dawson Miller, and we've dealt with these folks to make sure they understand that there's no saving power in this water. This water is simply a picture of what's already happened in their heart. The power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is a symbol of the water is crossing our body like the cross where Jesus died. We take them below the water. That's a picture of the death and burial of Christ. Bring them back up. That's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They're identifying with the gospel, saying, I've trusted Christ, and I'm not ashamed to let the world know about it. We praise the Lord for this. This is Dawson Miller. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Alyssa Neal, bless your heart. I'm telling you, it's a blessing to see children following the Lord.
Amen.
Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Ashley Klaus. The Lord's really worked in her heart and life. We praise God for it. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Told me that she wanted to be baptized if the preacher knows what he's doing. She said. One of the ushers back here said she's in trouble. I'm down here. Upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk.
Amen.
She's shaking her head, yes, so that's good. That rejoices my heart. I feel like I just took a bath up here, but that's all right. Where's Ashley Winters at? Ashley? Marianne Williams and Maddie McCrary, am I right? If you girls will stand just a moment, and Miss Constance can stand with you there. These girls were in our children's church, and And all three of them have come today, and you are trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. Am I right? So you've asked the Lord to come into your heart and forgive you today? Wonderful. Have you happy for them? Say a big amen. Amen. That's right. Wonderful. God bless you. I want to take them back to where they're going. That'd be good. Be back tonight, God willing. We will be in the book of Genesis. And if you are not married, if you are unmarried, and you are looking for a life's mate, you do not want to miss tonight's service. Now, if you are married, that doesn't put you off the hook. You be here too, okay? 6:30, right in your place. God bless you. You're dismissed. Visitors, please remember to take your cards out to the Welcome Center.